Darling, I love you. Will you marry me?
I will love you forever. Hello, 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 hello again, and welcome to Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episode 84, and very happy new year. Hello, Reza.
Hiya, Craig. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And with over 40 years of teaching between the two of us, we will help you improve your English on this podcast and take it to the next level. In this episode, weddings, getting married, and what to say on the big day. Because the big day is a synonym of a wedding day. But before we speak about weddings, we have some listener feedback, Reza.
Yes, we heard from Rafael. I think it was an email, was it?
Yes, it was. An email about an episode we've done recently.
Mm-hmm. He writes, a very interesting episode, but here in Spain, we have lost the custom of sending letters or cards. I don't remember if I've ever sent or received one. We were talking about what to write on cards.
Yeah, greeting cards.
He goes on. I only find letters from the bank in the letterbox with a receipt inside. Yes, a receipt, or you probably mean a bank statement.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, with the internet, people congratulate one another much more with applications such as WhatsApp. Yes, you're quite right, Raphael.
But it's not the same, is it, getting a message on Facebook or WhatsApp than actually receiving a card in the post, in the mail? Yeah, it's not the same.
Craig, how would you feel, or how would your family members feel about receiving an electronic message about, for example, sympathy on the death of someone? Would you be happy with that? If someone sent you a WhatsApp or an email saying, yes, heard your dad died, very sorry, or something like that, how would you feel about that?
I would be okay with that because in my generation, I feel quite comfortable with technology, and I would prefer a message on Facebook or WhatsApp than nothing at all. Huh. I think I'd prefer a phone call or a card. It's more personal, but I understand that, you know, people now send electronic messages. My parents, on the other hand, who are not on Facebook and Messenger, they wouldn't even receive it because they're not using the technology. So if it wasn't a card, then they wouldn't receive it.
Did I tell you that my mom has just opened an email account, everybody?
Yep, you told me, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. She's opened an email account and she was given a tablet computer. I don't have a tablet. Now my mom has one. I'm a bit jealous.
She's ahead of you.
If you want to find out more about what to write in greeting cards, you can go back a few episodes to episode 79 of Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig.
Yes, that's inglespodcast.com/79. And Rafael, there were some mistakes in your email, which I have corrected, and you can see the correct version in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/84.
Now, Craig, the big day. Let's talk about the big day.
The wedding day.
Well, shall we throw out a few items of vocabulary?
What does throw out mean?
Throw out means just air them, make them public.
Tirar.
Not tirar, no. Throw out can mean tirar. I'm going to throw out this food because it's bad. But I don't mean that. Throw out there means...
Suggest.
Dejar en el aire.
Dejar en el aire. Okay. Yeah. Well, when we speak about weddings, obviously the verb to marry someone. But I think more common would be to say to get married.
Yes.
To get married, and the preposition is to. So you get married to someone. Not with, but to.
Yes.
So you get married to and you get divorced from someone. Yeah.
And the word to marry, of course, the verb to marry has two meanings. It can mean, as Craig said, to get married. Or it can be what the priest does. The priest marries two other people. You can say, the priest married me and my wife. So the priest didn't get married.
That doesn't mean the priest is your husband, yeah, does it?
Because priests can't get married, of course. The priest married me and my wife. So there's two meanings to marry. But to get married has only one meaning.
And before you get married, you get engaged. E-N-G-A-G-E-D. And the noun of engaged is engagement. So it's common to have a party. That's an engagement party. It's common to swap rings or to give a ring to your fiancé. So that's an engagement ring. Now, Reza, fiancé...
Fiancé, oh, qu'est-ce que c'est? Tell us about fiancé, Craig.
Fiancé is a French word, isn't it? And I always get confused because I know that there's a spelling for the man and a spelling for the woman. Do you know the difference?
Yes, it's a basic rule of French. And in this case, we do apply it in English. Fiancé with fiancé. One E at the end is masculine, and fiancé with a double E is feminine.
Okay.
That follows the French rule of adding an E for the feminine case.
So your fiancé is the person you intend to get married to. So you have already popped the question. To pop the question, what does that mean?
It means you got down on one knee and proposed. You said, darling, I love you. Will you marry me?
I would love you forever.
You get down
on
one knee.
To the question.
To propose. You could propose many things. You can propose going to the restaurant. You can propose a thing at work. But if you say just to propose, I proposed, full stop, means I asked someone to marry me.
Mm-hmm. To
Craig, about engagements, let's not brush over so quickly the main thing.
What does brush over mean?
To brush over means to pass by something without giving it much attention. Let's not brush over the most important thing, certainly for the ladies, I would imagine, the ring, the engagement ring.
El anillo.
El anillo. E tradition states that the man is to buy his fiancée, is to buy the woman a rather expensive engagement ring to show his commitment to her.
Yes, the more money, the more commitment. Is that what?
Well,
how it works?
Kind of in a way. You certainly, it's not an occasion when you can buy just a cheap one. I don't think your fiance would be happy.
No.
Very often in Anglo-Saxon or English-speaking cultures, the engagement ring costs a lot more money than the wedding ring.
That's true.
The wedding ring doesn't have to be expensive. It's the engagement ring, which is the big bucks, the big money.
And the wedding ring is usually a very simple band, a wedding band, B-A-N-D, a very simple ring of gold or silver without a diamond, usually.
Yep. Craig, the eternal question, and I have to ask you, everyone has their views on it. Sadly, couples split up.
Get divorced.
Separated. But let's not jump the gun before. To jump the gun is let's not get ahead of ourselves. Before you get married, so you can't get divorced, you get engaged. What if someone breaks off the engagement? In other words, you're engaged to be married, but for some reason you decide not to get married. So you don't get married. So there's no divorce. He's not necessary. You break off the engagement. The eternal question is, should she give the ring back? The eternal question. There's no fixed answer. No set answer for that. People have their own views. Craig, what do you think?
Well, I've never really thought about it, but my first reaction is if you give something to someone, it's theirs.
A very, very, very valuable ring,
it's
which
not
cost
yours.
You several months.
The value doesn't, it doesn't, it's not a factor in my opinion. If you give something to someone, if it's a plastic ring or a solid gold ring with diamonds, or if you give them a car or if you give them a house, it's theirs. You can't ask for it back. Well, you can, but it's not, I don't think it's morally correct.
Who said anything about asking for it back? Maybe she should volunteer to give it back without the man having to ask.
That depends on the lady.
And would you accept it if she offered it back to you?
That depends on the man.
Would you accept it?
I don't know. I think it depends on the circumstances. It depends on the situation. It depends how much money you've got in the bank. It depends on a lot of things. But generally speaking, I think that you shouldn't. You give something, it's theirs. That's it. End of story.
Well, you there are people who say, yes, it depends on many things. There are people who believe that if the woman breaks off the engagement, in other words, if it's her idea.
Breaks off means to finish.
To finish, yeah. To not get married. If she breaks off the engagement, she should offer to give the ring back. Whereas, on the other hand, if the man breaks off the engagement, he should not ask the woman for the ring back.
Is that your opinion? That's your opinion?
Many people believe it, and I think it's a good idea. But I think under no circumstances should... Do you remember inversions from a few episodes back? Under no circumstances should the man ask for the ring back. But I think if the woman has broken off the engagement, she should offer to give it back because it cost him a lot of money. And she's not going to dedicate herself to him for probably very good reasons. Why should he let her keep something which cost a lot of money for nothing in return?
Very often, though, in that situation, there are a lot of feelings going on. There's maybe some bad feeling. There's certainly a lot of emotion in the middle. So people don't usually think straight. They don't think cold logic when engagements are broken off.
What if she had run off with someone else? To run off with someone means you suddenly, without warning, start a relationship with someone and you just disappear.
Like you have an affair, tener una aventura.
Yeah, but to run off means you actually leave, you go somewhere, you disappear. What if she ran off with someone? Would you not want your engagement ring back then?
Well, my suspicion is that if she is the kind of woman to run off behind your back, she's also the kind of woman to run off with your ring.
Exactly. And in that case, I would want it back if at all possible. Anyway, it's an eternal question that people debate over.
Moving on to look at some more vocabulary connected to weddings. So when people get married, they make wedding vows. V-O-W-S. A vow is a strong promise. So I think in Spanish it's juramento. So you promise your intended, your wife or your husband, and you make wedding vows.
You promise that you will cherish them, that always, you will obey them in sickness and in health.
Always love them.
Till death parts you? Is that what you
do? Death do us part.
That's old-fashioned English, but that's what they use in the wedding ceremony.
It's common to get married in a church in Spain and in Catholic countries. You could also get married in a registry office. A registry office, which in Spanish is registro civil.
And in some countries, they do both. I've been to a wedding in Poland, and to do both is extremely common. Most people in Poland do both on the same day. You go to the registry office first, I think, and then you go to the church. Most Poles do that.
Let's look at people that are involved in a wedding. Obviously, the person who marries you, as we said earlier, the priest. Now, be careful with the pronunciation of priest. The spelling is P-R-I-E-S-T, but it isn't priest. It's priest. Priest. Priest could also be called a minister. Mm-hmm. And in a registry office, I think it's a justice of the peace, isn't it?
Yes. Or the registrar.
Or the registrar. Yeah, the registrar. Do our listeners know the name of the woman getting married, the novia?
The bride.
Yeah. And the man who gets married, the novia?
The bridegroom.
The bridegroom or the groom. Mm.
I find it a funny word because...
It reminds me of broom.
A broom,
escoba to sweep.
Well, that is very funny. I hadn't thought of that.
Because you can sweep a woman off her feet.
For me, I find the word bridegroom funny because the word groom has other meanings. For example, you groom a horse. You groom animals. You look after them. In a stable, when you're looking after a horse, you take a brush and you comb its hair, get all the dirt out. That is to groom it. And indeed, the person who does that is a stable groom.
Yeah,
the one who looks after the horse. He's the bridegroom. He's the one who has to groom the bride. That's what it means.
I don't know. I don't know if in Spanish weddings you have a man who is a witness to the marriage. If there's a person, a man responsible for the ring, a person who's maybe the groom's best friend or close family member. Does that exist in Spanish weddings? It's called the best man.
To my knowledge, it does not.
I don't think it does.
It's very important in English-speaking countries, isn't it?
Yep, it's a very important... It's an honour. It's an honour to be asked to be a best man. And the best man, one of the best man's responsibilities is to organise the stag night.
Mm-hmm.
In British English, a stag night is the despedida de soltero. In American English, it's a bachelor party.
Bachelor party.
Thank you.
Going back to the American pronunciation, bachelor party.
Reza, how do you say despedida de soltera for the women?
Well, don't shoot the messenger. It sounds a bit sexist, but I'm just the messenger. It's the hen night, la noche de las gallinas.
Mm. Okay.
That's what they call it.
Stag night and hen
night. Stag night, la noche de los ciervos. Stag night. And for women, la noche de las gallinas. Hen night.
Have you been on a stag night recently?
Not in a very, very long time, about 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, me too.
It's not something that appeals to me. It doesn't appeal to me because crazy things are said to happen at stag nights. People do silly things. They get very drunk and just make fools of themselves. That does not attract me, I must say.
Now it's common in the UK to have not stag nights, but stag weekends. And it's common for men to go away for 2 or 3 days to places like Barcelona or Amsterdam and party crazily for 2 or 3 days. And then come back and maybe a week later get married.
Yeah, feeling really terrible. Mm. I don't understand the enjoyment myself.
There's also another important person at a wedding, the maid of honour. The maid of honour, usually the bride's best friend or another close family member, and also another important witness to the marriage.
What does maid mean? Can you spell it?
M-A-I-D, maid. Maid, I think, is an unmarried young woman.
Indeed it is.
Is that correct?
Yeah. And what is a maiden name? And can you spell maiden?
Maiden is the same spelling, M-A-I-D-E-N, and it's somebody's name before they get married.
Right.
Because in Britain, when you get married, your surname often changes and you take your husband's family name as your new surname. So your maiden name is your name before marriage, your surname before marriage.
Which is often asked in forms that women have to complete to identify them. Because if Hillary Clinton was to fill out a form writing first name Hillary, second Clinton, well, that's not much use because her name's Clinton because her husband's Bill Clinton. But it doesn't tell me where she comes from. I would need to know that her maiden name is Rodham. And so I know that her father's name was Rodham. Hillary Rodham Clinton, indeed.
And occasionally you see surnames with a hyphen, with a dash in the middle. And that's because the woman does not want to lose her maiden name. So you might see something that's, for example, Jane Boswell Smith. And the Boswell Smith is a combination of her maiden name and her husband's family name.
Craig, I'm going to put you on the spot. No pressure, mate. Don't worry about all those women who listen to us. No pressure at all.
Is this a sexist question?
Which system do you prefer? The Anglo-Saxon system of the woman changing her name when she gets married? Or the Spanish system of not changing it? No pressure. I'm sure you won't offend anyone. Can you answer that question? No pressure at all.
How much I love your questions, Reza. Well, I have two opinions. The first opinion is I don't agree that the woman should take the man's name. I don't think that's correct. But I do not like the Spanish system because the names end up so long. The names are so long. You have like 5 or 6 or 7 names and there's no room on the paper to write them. So I'm all for keeping it simple, keeping it easy, keeping it clear. Just have one surname and that's it.
Okay, so what surnames would the children have when they're the children of a married couple?
Maybe they could choose.
Ah, it's not a bad idea.
Choose their favourite, mum or dad. So obviously at weddings you have guests, the people who come to the wedding. Again, careful with pronunciation. The spelling G-U-E-S-T-S, but the pronunciation guests. Guests. Oh, and we have the bridesmaids. What are the bridesmaids, Reza?
Well, the bridesmaids, like the maid of honor, are friends or relatives, but they're not quite as important as the maid of honor. The maid of honor is the female equivalent of the best man.
She's the bee's knees,
isn't
she?
She's the bee's knees. She's the top dog, the number one. But quite often, the bride will also have bridesmaids, more than one woman or girl, to help her with the ceremony.
Who are the most important people at a wedding, in your opinion?
The bride and groom.
Wrong. The bar staff. The people working the people working behind the bar, the caterers, the people who are providing the food and drink, they're the people you need to speak to make sure you get the best whiskey, to make sure you're served quickly. They're the most, the bar staff and the caterers are the most important people at a wedding.
Yes, I see. You see your point. Yes, not the newlyweds.
The newlyweds, the people who have just married, are referred to as newlyweds. Just one word: newlyweds. The newlyweds. Before we continue with the podcast, we'd like to thank our sponsor, the wonderful iTalki. So what is iTalki and how can iTalki help you take your English to the next level? Well, obviously, you're listening to these podcasts, you're improving your English, you're improving your grammar and vocabulary, but you need to speak. You need to use the language. You need to make mistakes and be corrected by a professional teacher. Reza, how can iTalki help with that?
Well, iTalki is a very, very good place to turn to if you want to improve your fluency, because you can speak one-to-one with a teacher of your choosing, and you can ask for certain types of lessons. For example, you could do all speaking. Or you can combine grammar, vocabulary, speaking, list, whatever you want. So as far as fluency goes, iTalki is the perfect place to talk about real, authentic situations in a natural way. Also, there are other advantages to iTalki. You choose the teacher, you choose the time, you choose how much you want to pay. There are many, many advantages. Can you think of any other?
I could think of one big advantage for listeners of Inglés podcast. They can go and get a free lesson. If you sign up and pay for a lesson, then iTalki will give our listeners one lesson free. It works on a credit system, so you have to buy 100 iTalki credits, which works out, I think, about 13, 14 euros, and then you get another lesson free. To take advantage of this special offer, go to inglespodcast.com/italki, I-T-A-L-K-I. And Reza and I would like to thank italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Other vocabulary. Reza, can you think of any other vocabulary connected to weddings?
Well, a very important part of the day, the big day, is the reception.
Yes.
The reception means the formal meal.
Where people are received.
They're received when they arrive. The bride and groom, yes. Mm-hmm. They have a formal meal and they're waited on. That means waiters bring them the food, so it's nice and very, very good quality food, and a lot of money is spent on it. And then afterwards, perhaps entertainment such as a live band or disco music. All of that is the reception.
And at the end of the meal, something which is very common at British weddings and not very common at Spanish weddings, people make speeches, discursos. People thank the father of the bride, thanks people for coming to the wedding. The best man speaks about the married couple, and then that speech is replied to by the person getting married. So there are lots of speeches at the end of the meal. Sometimes they're entertaining, sometimes they're very boring, but it's a tradition to have speeches at an English wedding.
It's a tradition as well, isn't it, for the best man to embarrass the groom. He will go out of his way. He'll make an effort to think of really embarrassing things which the man getting married, the groom has done to make him feel bad, but for humorous reasons, so everyone can have a good laugh. It's not typical with the bride though. It's just really the groom who has to suffer a little bit of public humiliation.
Reza, what kind of clothes do people wear at weddings?
Well, traditionally, people will wear formal clothes, so formal wedding clothes. For example, men will wear perhaps a suit or perhaps a tuxedo, una smoking. And women will normally wear a dress or a nice suit with a jacket and probably a lot of high heels, no?
Yep, and the veil over their face is common, especially in the church.
A veil over the face of the bride, of not the, all women.
Of the bride. Veil is V-E-I-L, and it's the piece of fine material that covers the bride's face, traditionally in a formal white wedding dress or wedding gown, G-O-W-N, a wedding gown. And after the wedding, Reza, the happily married couple go on luna de miel. What's that in English?
Oh, the honeymoon.
Honeymoon.
Which is the same, isn't it? Honey miel and moon luna.
Direct translation, honeymoon. But one word, honeymoon.
And Craig, the night of the wedding is a special night. Traditionally, it could be the beginning of the honeymoon. The wedding night, what tends to happen on the wedding night, Craig? Any idea?
Well, I'm not married, so no idea.
You have no idea whatsoever.
I don't know. No,
you wouldn't know what to do if you were in that position, no?
I would have no idea, no idea what to do.
Yes.
But I do know, I'll tell you one thing, I do know that when the bride and groom are married and they go outside of the church or the registry office, the bride usually has a bouquet of flowers. Bouquet, B-O-U-Q-U-E-T. Are you going to tell us how you pronounce that in French?
Bouquet.
Bouquet. Bouquet. Sounds much better in French, doesn't it? Bouquet, rama, or flowers. And it's common for it's usual for the bride to throw the bouquet into the crowd. And what's the tradition once she's thrown the bouquet into the crowd?
Well, whichever lucky woman catches it will be the next maid to get married. Of all the bridesmaids, or indeed any woman who's there, if she catches it, she'll be the next to get married.
That's the suspicion. Another expression which is useful is to walk down the aisle. Now, aisle, A-I-S-L-E, that's a silent S, is pasillo. But is it pasillo in a church? Not sure. It's pasillo. It's the space between the seats, between the rows of seats. So the bride walks down the aisle.
What if they get cold feet?
Cold feet? You mean if they don't have shoes?
Could be. Or?
The expression to get cold feet, what does that mean?
If you get cold feet, it means that you are worried about something. You have reservations. You are not sure if you should continue or not.
So if you get cold feet, you decide not to get married.
Yep.
Yep.
And you might leave the other person at the altar. That means right at the beginning or in the middle of the ceremony, you abandon them. You leave them at the altar.
Okay, let's move on to speak about small talk at a wedding, because you might find yourself in the situation of being at a wedding and everybody's speaking English because it's in the UK or an English-speaking country. What do you say, or what can you say, to break the ice, to start a conversation with other guests at a wedding? One thing you could ask is where you going to sit? Where should I sit? Because usually maybe there's a table plan or maybe not. Maybe your name is on the table, but it's a way of speaking to somebody. Often you find yourself sitting at a table with people you don't know. So where should I sit? Can I sit here? Would you mind if I sit here? That's a way of breaking the ice with someone.
Craig, have you ever been at weddings where every single position in the seating plan was planned? So you had to sit in a particular seat?
Oh, yes. I remember.
Not just a particular table, but a particular seat.
Yes, and with little cards on the table with your name. So you have to sit where they tell you because they try to place people strategically in situations where they might be speaking to someone they get on with or get to know someone, or maybe they put the single people together so they'll meet and possibly find a partner at the table. That's quite common.
So the table plan or seating plan is very important. You don't want to put together two people who you know hate each other.
Absolutely.
You know, they might both like the bride and groom, but they might hate each other. They've got to be kept apart.
Another question you could ask at a wedding, how do you know the bride and groom? Obviously, they're going to be family, they're going to be friends, they might know them through work, they might know them through a club. So one way to start a conversation with people at the table, how do you know the bride and groom? Any other possibilities for small talk, Reza? Any other questions that come to mind?
You could comment on the food. Mm-hmm. You could say, for example, have you tried the caviar? It's delicious.
Caviar? What kind of weddings do you go to?
Yeah. In my imagination, yeah.
I was trying to think of food they serve at weddings and I couldn't think of vol-au-vents. Have you tried the mushroom vol-au-vents?
Not since the late 1970s, no.
I couldn't think of any.
Have you tried the steak? It's lovely. Mm-hmm. Or have you tried the starter? You'll really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Of course, the waiters will be bringing you drinks probably, and you might say to the, you might offer to go and get a drink at the bar, in which case you might say to someone, can I get you a drink or can I get you another glass of wine or another glass of champagne or whatever it happens to be?
Would you like some more wine or can I get you another glass of champagne? Especially in the reception, I think when people first arrive at the wedding before they sit down, that's where you're moving around, you're going to the bar, you're taking food from a tray. So have you tried this, for example? Have you tried this food? It's really good. That could be a way of starting to speak to somebody. Paying compliments is another way to make small talk.
How much does it cost to pay for a compliment?
Oh, it's very expensive.
Ah, to pay a compliment. What is a compliment?
A compliment is when you say something nice about someone. Like, Reza, your hair looks very nice today.
Oh, thank you very much, Craig. I'm glad you noticed.
Under your headphones? I'm paying Reza a compliment. To pay in this sense means to give. So you're giving a compliment. You're complimenting someone on their hair, on their dress, on their clothes. And the collocation is pay, P-A-Y. So you could say, I like your dress. Where did you get it? I like your shirt, I like your jacket, I like your necklace. Those are really nice shoes, for example. Where did you get them? Where did you get it? That's a way of opening a conversation.
Craig, have you ever been at a wedding where two women have worn the same thing?
No, but I know they hate it, don't they? They get really annoyed. I think it's funny if two guys wear the same shirt. I think it's a joke.
But for me, it's no trauma. I just say, oh, did you get that in wherever?
How much did you pay for it?
Yeah. Oh, shit, you got it in the sale. £5 cheaper than me. But I've seen women, unlucky women, at a wedding once in Spain, and they both had on exactly the same outfit. Mm-hmm. The outfit is combination of
were
clothes.
They angry that they clashed?
They were horrified. More than angry, they were simply horrified. One of them rushed and got a jacket from somewhere and put it on
really?
To try and look a bit different. I don't see the big deal. They both look great, but they apparently they don't. A lot of women find the thought of dressing the same as another one is terrible.
Ask someone to take your photo. That's a way of getting speaking to someone. Would you mind taking a photo? Could you take a photo of me or of us? And then you can start speaking.
Oh, what do you think of the music or what do you think of the food?
Yeah.
And my advice to you is, even if you don't like the food, lie and say you like it. That's the spirit of weddings. Don't be a complainer at a wedding. It's not good.
The thing, well, you don't have to lie. My favorite expression is, I thought the soup was very interesting. It's not saying it was really good. It's not saying it was disgusting. It's saying it's, yeah, the soup was really different. Different, interesting, unusual are all words you can use when something's bad, but you want to be diplomatic. Yeah, I thought the chicken was very unusual. Also, when the music gets going, you're having a couple of drinks, the meal has finished, you could ask someone to dance. Ask someone to dance. Do you like dancing would be one question. And would you like to dance would be the next one. But be careful of the grammar. Why is the grammar tricky, Reza? Can you see that? Do you like dancing? Would you like to dance?
I would say, would you like to dance myself at a wedding? Because that suggests that I'm asking on this specific occasion.
But you could use both. You could use both.
You could. But you could get an unpleasant answer if you're unlucky for the first one. If you say, do you like dancing? The reply might be, yes, I do, but I don't fancy it right now.
In that case, I insist on getting you a drink.
Ah, that's a way to...
The important thing to remember is that with do you like, you need a gerund. And with would you like, you need an infinitive. The meaning's different. Do you like dancing? Do you like the activity of dancing? Do you like dancing? Do you like skiing? Do you like listening to music? Would you like is an offer. You're offering, you're asking. Would you like to dance? Would you like to join me in another drink? Would you like to go outside for some air? So would you like is infinitive and do you like with the gerund. Reza, what can we say to the bride and groom after the wedding when we're leaving, when at the end of the evening, we're going? What can our listeners say in English at the end of a wedding?
One thing, if you haven't said it already, is congratulations. At some point in the reception, you should say congratulations.
Yeah. And also, you could pay compliments, pay a compliment to the bride. For example, you look stunning. Stunning is a very strong adjective. S-T-U-N-N-I-N-G. You look stunning. You look very beautiful.
What could you say to the groom?
You could say you look handsome in your tuxedo. You look handsome. You look very good looking. But handsome is a word that you'd use to a man, not so much a woman.
And we don't tend to say that a man looks stunning either, do we? It tends to be more for women.
Yeah, a woman in the dress, the impression of the dress and the hair, etc. So she looks stunning. You can compliment the bride on her dress. Your dress is gorgeous, or your dress is amazing, or it's breathtaking. If something's breathtaking, it's so beautiful, it takes your breath away. So you could say, your dress is amazing, it takes my breath away. That's a very strong compliment to pay. What could you say about the food?
You could pay a compliment about the food. You could say, the food was delicious. Or thank you for that meal. It was quite amazing, or something like that.
Thank you for inviting us. We had a wonderful time. We really enjoyed ourselves. We thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. Or the wedding was beautiful.
You could inquire about their future. For example, the honeymoon. You could say, are you going anywhere on honeymoon, or where's the honeymoon going to be? Or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So now it's time for you to practice your English. We would like you to tell us about the last wedding you went to. Practice the vocabulary we've mentioned in this podcast. Who got married? What was it like? Did you enjoy it? And if you are already married, what was your wedding like? What do you remember about your wedding? And if you're planning a wedding, what would be your dream wedding? Describe it to us. And what's your opinion of weddings? Are they a waste of money or the best day of your life? So send us a voice message and tell us what you think. You can send your message on SpeakPipe at SpeakPipe, that's SpeakPipe, /Inglés podcast. Remember, there's a maximum of 90 seconds of recording time, so you won't be speaking for very long. Or you could send us an email with a comment or a question for future podcasts. Send your emails to me, that's Craig at inglespodcast.com,
or to me at belfastreza@gmail.com.
So we hope to hear from you soon. Thank you very much for listening. And on next week's episode, we'll be speaking about listening to the news and current affairs vocabulary. Until then, until next week, have a wonderful week, and it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.